Hello, my dear listeners. You found your way to Counter Melody, and I couldn't be more delighted to welcome you to my podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Gundlach, and I'm here to present to you the finest exponents, both renowned and less well-known, of the art of song. I don't know how you feel about this, but sometimes I feel as if the world has turned completely upside down. And in a strange way, I guess that's part of the reason I'm still here putting out this podcast. Even and especially in these difficult times, I believe that the artists presented here may brighten our path with their luminous voices and inspire us on our search for a better future. And now, this week's episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's Listener's Favorites episode. My guest host is Jeremy Osborne, himself a baritone of some accomplishment. We saw each other just a few days ago when we both happened to be in New York at the same time, and it was wonderful to be reunited with him. He has been in Berlin about as long as I have. Actually, I think I arrived a few years before he did, but he has done quite well for himself here. He's worked so hard on his voice, and he has become a singer, as I implied before, of real and genuine integrity and accomplishment. The singer that he chose to feature today on the next segment of my Great Baritones series is the Ukrainian-American baritone Igor Gorin, who is a phenomenal singer, and if one were looking for voices to include among the most beautiful voices of all time, he would be right up there at the top of the list. But I don't make lists like that. I find them kind of bogus. I'd rather focus on individual characteristics that make an artist treasurable. And Jeremy has a wonderful story of how he first came to know Igor Gorin, and I will let him tell you that. And further, I hope that you will enjoy hearing the story of Igor Gorin's fascinating life, as well as the examples that I provide of his refulgently beautiful singing. Speaking of refulgently beautiful singing, by the way, I do want to feature Jeremy singing something for you. It is the German hymn to Heilige Kunst, O du mein holder Abendstern, Wolfram's address to the evening star from the final act of Wagner's Tannhäuser. Now, I don't want to deflect from Jeremy's fabulous singing of this, but let me just say that I have known black baritones who tried to audition with this aria and were told that it was inappropriate repertoire for them. When that person inquired of the auditioners what might be appropriate repertory for him, they told him, oh, Porgy, of course. This was indeed a few years ago, but that kind of thinking still persists here, which is why it brought me such pleasure a few years ago to sit in the audience and hear Jeremy sing this aria so beautifully. In fact, my poor friend Panina, with whom I was sitting, ended up with bruises because I was gripping her arm so tight with my fingers because I was so thrilled to hear Jeremy singing so beautifully. He refers to the first time that I heard him sing in a masterclass, and it's true, I did hear something special, but what he has achieved since then was, is, and will continue to be, I hope and trust, something really special. So here is Jeremy, first singing and then introducing another of our favorite baritones, Igor Gorin. Enjoy, and see you again later in the week. Thank you.
My name is Jeremy Osborne. I am an operatic baritone based in Berlin for almost 10 years, since 2014. Igor Gorin is one of the singers that Dan has featured on his podcast that I was actually quite familiar with before I listened to his outstanding episode on him. I was very, very fortunate to have two committed voice teachers when I was 17 years old. Their names were George and Martha Antolik. Martha taught at the University of Central Arkansas, where I ended up doing my bachelor's in vocal performance, and George taught from their house privately. And George sent me YouTube videos of outstanding singers, particularly outstanding male singers, recordings of Richard Tucker, Leonard Warren, and Igor Gorin. And I remember from the first time I heard that voice just thinking, somebody described it to me once as something like, you've been trying to hit a target that you've never even seen. And it was kind of like that. You are working on your voice, you take these lessons, and you think you're working on your voice, and you think you're working on languages, and then you hear a true master do it, and you go, wow, what am I even doing? Igor Gorin's tone had this iron fist in the velvet glove, this real tenderness and this impeccable legato, but for me, ultimately, it comes down to beauty. He had this unmistakable and unbelievably resonant, free, beautiful tone.
I didn't know all of the recordings. For example, I find the recording that Dan dug up of Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring, particularly stunning. But it again started to feel a little bit like a full circle moment when he asked me to do an intro for the episode. I'm in Chicago at the moment, singing in the chorus at the Lyric Opera of Chicago, and Dan is also an excellent coach, and he is responsible for helping me develop a better inner ear and vocal aesthetic. What I love the most about the podcast is the way he describes what it is that excellent singers are doing that makes them excellent. I've always found it more difficult to talk about singers and works of art more broadly that I like than those that I don't like. I really admire his decision to focus on singers that he really admires instead of spending a lot of time talking about those that he does not like. The podcast is so unbelievably valuable that I don't even think that he maybe even understands the extent to which he is helping singers of all ages to become familiar with excellent singing from singers who are not as well known. As to Igor Gorin, my Igor Gorin story is a bit funny because I worked in the gift shop at the Metropolitan Opera for a while, and I was what they called a receiver. That means that I had to process the shipments to prepare them for sale, and that included CDs and DVDs. And I remember listening to Igor Gorin downstairs in the Met when I was working there, because at the time, the office where they were processing the shipments was downstairs, far away from people. And I remember listening to him and trying to emulate the freedom that he was able to find in his singing. It just always sounded so free and so beautiful. One of the things I most admire about his singing, aside from his legato, is the sheer beauty of the sound. And I think that's something that's not valued as much as it maybe should be today. The sound that he produces is so opulent, but true. It's not artificially darkened. It's resonant and it has a core, and he never pushes it past the natural, beautiful quality of the voice. Someone told me years ago that you have to accept your voice before you can improve upon it. And he was obviously gifted with a particularly mellifluous voice, but it's quite something that he doesn't really gild the lily trying to add richness to his already rich voice. And I think that that takes a certain kind of wisdom. And speaking of wisdom, I don't think I can really overstate the extent to which the Counter Melody podcast has helped me expand my own aesthetic, taught me so much about wonderful African-American singers, but not just African-American singers, also just about singing in general. I'm just absolutely thrilled that the podcast has been so successful and that it has generated such a following. And I also want to say, and this is very, very important, that for those of you listening, I would really encourage you to become a Patreon supporter. I've listened to the podcast from the very, very beginning, and I now have access to all of those extra episodes. It's something like 90 episodes or something. They're, you know, an hour, hour and a half long, and they're really fantastic. And that in addition to the 250-odd episodes that he's already made. I listen to them when I work out. I send them to my friends. I'm just very thankful to be able to call him a friend. I really hope you enjoy this episode. And yeah, just support Dan, support the podcast. Best wishes from Chicago.
Dear listeners, and welcome to Counter Melody. It is I, your host, Daniel Gundlach, and as always, I'm committed to bringing you the voices of beloved singers, often focusing on unexpected facets of their artistry. You will also be hearing less celebrated but equally treasurable artists who deserve our attention and respect. I'm honored to have you join me on this ongoing mutual journey of discovery. And now, without any further ado, let's get down to today's business. Great singers and great singing. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Counter Melody. I have a very special treat this week. The Ukrainian-American baritone Igor Gorin. What better way to introduce him to you than with a Russian folk song? And a very well-known Russian folk song indeed. Ochi Chornie, or Dark Eyes. This is a 1946 performance conducted by Maximilian Pilzer. Thank you. There's much to tell you about this artist. I had heard his name over the years, and I had even heard his voice. And, as sometimes happens, in spite of the fact that I very much liked what I heard, I just forgot about him. When I was researching my Christmas art song program, I came across a performance of his of the Villancico Vasco, arranged by Joaquin Nin. I was completely blown away by A, the extremely beautiful tone, B, the superb legato, C, his ability to sing a mezzo voce that could melt a heart of stone. So if any of you are feeling yourself stony-hearted, give a listen to this episode and to this great singer, and you may find yourself saying, "I'm melting!" But in a good way. Before I give you a short biographical sketch, I'd like you to hear portions of two recordings that he made of the prologue from Pagliacci. The first is from 1938 and begins with the words "Un nido di memorie" up through that glorious melody "E voi piuttosto." When David and I were listening to Igor Gorin this week, we were both completely caught up in the beauty of the voice. But David remarked on his performance that it sounded like a set piece. It didn't have a convincing dramatic profile. That's not to say that he doesn't overplay his dramatic hand at times, but I'd just like you to hear what he sounded like 17 years after making this recording. The voice has gotten a little bit darker. If anything, the notes are bound together by an even stronger sense of legato. And he doesn't overplay his dramatic hand. He's willing and able to dig a little bit deeper. So just take note of those things, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit more about him.
Piuttosto che le nostre. concetto vi dissi. Ora ascoltate come li ascolto. Andiamo, incominciate.
Igor Gorin was born Ignaz Grinberg in October 1904 in Ukraine. His father was a rabbi and did not support young Ignaz's interest in music. Instead, he studied the Talmud and became well-versed in the Orthodox liturgy. His mother died when he was 7 years old, finally because of political unrest and, of course, the nasty specter of anti-Semitism in pre-Soviet Russia. The family fled to Vienna. Ignaz undertook menial labor to help support his family. Eventually, he met a man named Victor Fuchs, who was a former singer and a teacher at the conservatory in Wien. Victor Fuchs became Ignaz's sponsor and then arranged for him to get a scholarship to the conservatory where he taught. Ignaz also went frequently to the opera and heard, among other singers, Mattia Battistini, who made an enormous impression upon him. He also began singing as a cantor in local synagogues. Eventually, he became the head cantor at one of the major synagogues in Vienna. Once again, Fuchs helped Ignaz gain a position with a touring Czech opera company, where he sang many principal leading roles. Ignaz came in contact with the famous German Heldenbariton Hans Hermann Nissen, who introduced him to his agent. The agent was very interested in Ignaz and suggested changing his name to Igor Gorin. Finally, a rabbi from Providence, Rhode Island, heard him and invited him to come to the United States in 1930 to sing the High Holy Days at his temple. He made a very strong impression there and was invited back. Once he had returned to Vienna, however, the specter of Nazism was looming, and Igor attempted to gain travel documents for himself and his family members. He did not, however, have a sponsor in the United States, and therefore he had to resort to forged travel documents for himself, and he had to leave the rest of his family behind. His father and uncle died in the camps. Once he arrived in America, he no longer had the status associated with a guest artist, but rather he was just another émigré. But through an incredible set of circumstances, he met a furniture manufacturer who was so delighted with his singing that he took over the management of Igor's career and arranged for him to get a contract at Radio City Music Hall under the name Charles Gorin. As luck would have it, he landed a spot on Rudy Valley's radio program. And in 1935, he booked two very important and lucrative contracts singing on the radio. And from there, he gained enormous fame. He also gained a recording contract with RCA Victor Records. Eventually, he became a star also on The Voice of Firestone radio and television series. Each one of those episodes would open with the song If I Could Tell You, which was composed by Miss Ida Bell Firestone. When you heard that music coming, you knew that you were going to hear the great singers of the day. The tenor Richard Crooks was the main host for many, many years, but Gorin was a frequent guest star. So let's pretend that you're back sometime in the late 30s, early 40s. You turn on the radio and you hear this.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, Music We Love presents for your enjoyment a program of symphonic music under the direction of the famous American conductor, Howard Barlow, and featuring tonight's special guest.
If I could tell you of my devotion.
Our guest tonight on Music We Love is the well-known Russian-American baritone Igor Gorin.
Irving Berlin waltz, sung by the distinguished young baritone, Igor Gorin.
What will I do when I am wandering home, missing you? What will I do? What will I do? Alone with all the dreams of you that won't come through, what will I do? They may not be there always, and when I be there,
Gorin continues singing Tell Me Tonight.
Love, I give you my heart. If you will take this gift I bring you, tell me tonight. Love, if I must depart, never again. My love refrain will greet you in the moon's dreamy light. Say with those lips divine that you'll be mine. Oh,
Gioachino Rossini's opera, The Barber of Seville, Figaro, a barber who is also a jack of all trades, tells of his gay life and brags about his ability in an aria which is one of the most difficult baritone solos ever written. As his next number, Igor Gorin sings the amazingly rapid Largo al Factotum.
Largo al Factotum della città, largo! La, presto, bottega, che già presto. Oh, che bel vivere, che bel piacere, che bel piacere per un bar
di qualità. Ah, brava figliola, bravo, bravissima, bravo! La 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 la! Ah, ah, la bravissima perrenità, bravo! La 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 la! Fortunatissima perrenità! Fortunatissima perrenità! La 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 la! Tutta la nel giorno sempre nel tome in fiore sta Emilia Cucagna per mapiere vita di nobile la nascita la 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 donetta poi sarà la 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 nera e con le cavaliere sarà la 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 che bel vivere, che bel piacere, che bel piacere. E di qualità tutti mi chiedono e tutti mi vogliono e sono ragazzi e vecchie fanciulle e quella peruca e questa la barba e quale sanguigna e questa bellezza tutti mi chiedono tutti mi vogliono tutti mi chiedono tutti mi vogliono quella parrucca questa la barba e questo biglietto hey! Figaro 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 Figaro, oh, in me, che voglia me, con la buona la volta, per carità, una la volta, una la volta, una la volta, per il carito. Ehi,
Figaro,
sono qua.
Figaro!
Qua, figaro qua, figaro là, figaro qua, figaro là, figaro su, figaro giù, figaro su, figaro giù. Grazie moltissimo, sono una femmina, sono fantasma della città, della città, della città, della città, della città. Abro, figaro bravo, bravissima, abro, figaro bravo, bravissima, fortunatissima, 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 per verità. Abro, figaro bravo, bravissima, abro, figaro bravo, bravissima, fortunatissima, 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 per verità. Come il sacrotum della città, come il sacrotum della città, della città, della città.
I'm just going to jump in for a moment. The next piece that I'm going to offer is the flip side of that Villancico Vasco disc that I discovered last Christmas. This is the song El Vito, again arranged by Joaquin Nin. Igor Gorin may have sung this on the radio, but this is actually a commercial studio recording, as was that Barbara of Seville, even though I used an introduction from a Voice of Firestone episode.
Una vieja valumbrial y una muchacha dos cuartos. Dicho como soy tan pobre y me voy a lo más barato. Dicho como soy tan pobre me voy a lo más barato. Vito, 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 con el vito, vito.
We heard the Occhi Chorni at the very beginning, and I have two other folk songs from the Caucasus that I'd like to share with you. The first one is simply called Caucasian Melody, as in Caucasus, not as in white person. This is a 1937 recording. I think it's one of Gorin's very first, because he's identified on the label as Charles, parentheses, Igor Gorin. This next song is arranged by Nikolai Bolin, and it's called Kazbek. As with the previous selection, which is indeed the flip side of the 78, the orchestra is conducted by Nathaniel Shilkret. You may remember from a couple weeks ago, Nathaniel Shilkret was the conductor of that recording we heard of Paul Robeson singing the Ballad for Americans. Here's a somewhat later recording from 1946 of the beautiful Vincent Heumann song Through the Years. This is a song that Gorin sang many times on the radio, but once again, this is, in fact, a studio recording.
Overnight, I'll be your star to guide you. Shining bright, though clouds may come and hide you. Through the years,
finally, to conclude the quasi-radio program portion of the episode, here is Igor Gorin singing with, well, I'll let the announcer give you the introduction.
Back in the fall of 1919, Fritz Kreisler, the famous violinist, made his debut in the field of light opera. It was called Apple Blossoms. And from it, Stella Roman and Igor Gorin sing Victor Jacobi's famous duet, You Are Free.
Love is just a game that you are playing. Love is nothing but a game of chance.
Music We Love, a half hour of your musical favorites performed by Howard Barlow and the Symphony Orchestra with tonight's special guest. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
I was so pleased to discover that there's a lot of live and radio material of Igor Gorin available on YouTube, including some pretty fascinating stuff that just recently, like in the past couple weeks, appeared. One of these is a concert from October 1959 that took place in Adelaide, Australia. I'm going to offer you three selections from that concert, which includes a wide range of material. The sound's not great, but you might want to look it up on YouTube and give it a listen. The first song is from the so-called Six Australian Bush Songs by the composer William G. James. These were written in the 1920s for Nellie Melba. I can only assume that Igor Gorin learned this next song called Bush Silence exclusively for that tour that he was making of Australia in the late 1950s.
The young horn moon hangs o'er the creek. The sun goes down the
Thank you.
Here's a song that we wouldn't necessarily associate with Igor Gorin. It's the last of Francis Poulenc's Chanson Gaillarde. The song is called La Belle Jeunesse. It's a sprightly performance, but it does highlight a couple, let's call them Achilles' heels, in Igor Gorin's musicianship and artistry. He tends to be fairly sloppy, at least in certain material. He tends to dwell more on the surface. We heard that in some of the songs that were featured earlier, but you'll notice whenever he's singing repertoire in Russian, his singing takes on a completely new dimension. This, alas, is French and not Russian repertoire, but it's fascinating to listen to nonetheless.
Il faut aimer toujours et ne se pousser guère. Il faut faire l'amour sans qu'il n'y notaire. Cessez, monsieur, de tremposer. Ne vis écoutire lire, ne vis écoutire. Cessez, monsieur, de tremposer. Vis écoutir. La 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 la. C'est monsieur de tréposer. Voilà monsieur le vise plus au cœur. Croisez-marie quand les femmes pour croisez-marie quand les femmes des autres ne se font pas prier. Ne se font pas prier pour devenir les nôtres dans les arcs. Dans les ardeurs, cherchez nos tirelires, cherchez nos tourelots, cherchez nos cœurs. Il faut aimer toujours et ne se pousse guère. Il faut faire l'amour sans cure ni notaire. Cessez, monsieur, de tréposer. Cessez, monsieur, de tréposer. La 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 la. Cessez, monsieur, de tréposer. Voilà, monsieur, ne vous appelez qu'au cœur.
A certain repertoire that Igor Gorin sang, and sang very well, are those old Italian songs by Scarlatti, Vivaldi, Pergolesi, composers like that. In the Adelaide recital, he sang a number of these. Again, because the sound isn't very good, I'm only going to give you a portion of one of them. It's the concluding section of Alessandro Scarlatti's Son Tutto Duolo. You will also hear, or you may have already remarked, that Gorin's Italian, it's not bad, but it's not exactly echt. I don't think he ever observed a double consonant in his life, so it's curious because he has almost an American accent. Don't let that prevent you from delighting in his many virtues, though. In particular, his beautiful legato and a still exquisite voice.
Oh!
In 1961, Igor Gorin made an album of arie antiche. This is a portion of one of them, Antonio Vivaldi's Di due rai languir costante. Willard Strait is the pianist. To my ear, how consistent and superb Gorin's technique was. This recording is Gorin at the age of 72 singing Antonio Sarti's song Lungi dal caro bene.
Quando il suo estremo sono sole.
Respectable career in regional opera alongside his appearances on radio and television, singing first with Chicago Civic Opera in 1941 as Papa Germont, and going on to sing Cincinnati Opera, Philadelphia Opera, New Orleans Opera, Vancouver Opera, and others through the late 50s. Certainly when he sang on the radio, he had a number of set arias that he would sing over and over and over again, remarkably consistently and with many of the virtues and slight debits that I've already highlighted. What's interesting is that he sometimes would choose repertoire that really was off the beaten path. I'm going to offer you two examples of that. First is from Verdi's Attila. This is a 1941 studio recording of the aria Dagli Immortali Vertici.
Dagli Immortali Vertici.
In 1962, Igor Gorin returned to Chicago to sing the title role of Prince Igor by Borodin with Chicago Lyric Opera. This was surely one of the high points of his operatic career. Shortly thereafter, he was also offered a contract to appear at New York City Opera, where he sang Germain opposite Beverly Sills. In 1964, he made one single performance at the Metropolitan Opera, again as Germain, opposite John Alexander, the great American tenor, and Mary Costa as Violetta. From 2 years after that, we have a private recording of a big scene from Donizetti's Maria di Rohan. I have no idea why he chose to record this, but we're very lucky to have it. Here's the final portion of the scene. Se ancor m'è dato a stringerti. In a film version of Otto Nicolai's Merry Wives of Windsor, which is available on YouTube. Again, guys, look it up. It's really interesting, and it features none other than the young Lucia Pop as Anne Page. Once he returned to the United States, Gorin began to experience some serious health problems. He and his wife moved to Arizona, where he took a teaching position at the University of Arizona in Tucson. He also once again began cantering at local services there. I'm sorry to say that at the end of his life, he was in a good deal of physical pain. He died on March 24th, 1982. For the end of this episode, I'd like to return to Gorin's roots as a performer. I think his most extraordinary recordings are of the music of Mussorgsky. I would like to mention that for my Patreon subscribers, I am offering two contrasting song cycles by Mussorgsky, The Nursery and The Songs and Dances of Death. Both of these were recorded by Igor Gorin in 1939, very much his vocal prime. So for those of you who are Patreon supporters, look for those. If you aren't yet a Patreon supporter, may I invite you to make a monthly donation of any amount from $2 on up by visiting patreon.com/countermelody. From there, you will gain access to that and all other bonus episodes. There are three Mussorgsky excerpts I'd like to play for you right now. The first is from 1942. Here's an excerpt from Khovanshchina by Mussorgsky. It's done in English translation. All is quiet in the camp. And now, from Mussorgsky's unfinished opera, The Fair at Sorochinsky, here is the so-called Reverie of the Young Peasant. It is originally for a tenor, and yet Gorin has easy access to his high voice and gives a stunning performance in this 1939 recording, accompanied by the pianist Max Rabinovich.
Серце ридаєш і стонеш, чим я могу тебе утешить, что не судьба нам с тобой счастливым быть, да в счастье
This next recording is my very, very favorite recording of Gorin's. It's of the early Mussorgsky song, Where Art Thou, Little Star? I have seldom heard anything as beautiful as this. Please enjoy this recording again from 1939. Now, from 25 years later, from Ernest Bloch's Avodat HaKodesh, Sacred Service, a live recording from Brooklyn, February 1964. This is the end of the first movement of the piece, Tzur Yisroel. It's the one part of the piece that actually uses traditional cantorial chant, and you hear what a master Gorin was. Oh, Dear listeners, next week is going to be the first of an entire month's worth of Black History Month episodes. My series last year was one of the big joys that I've had so far in producing this podcast. I look forward to exploring some lesser known names that, again, as I say at the beginning of the podcast, are deserving of our attention and respect. Finally, whenever I get the chance to include some real schlocky, big-boned Baroque singing, you know that I won't be able to resist. So I'm going to conclude with a heartfelt and very full-figured performance of Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring.
Word of God.
My dear friends, keep the song in your hearts. I'm Daniel Gundlach.